morning. It's time to say a wee prayer and sing a few wee songs. So let's close our eyes and pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for your many blessings, for the catch and the mouse. And Lord, for, I know it's cold out there, but at least it's sort of semi-dry today. And I would pray, Lord, that it would continue on. Please bless us, Lord, as we take this time around your word. And Lord, put your good hand upon us, upon our brothers and sisters, wherever they might be. Lord, bless the preaching and the teaching and the hearing of your word. I pray you too for those that can't be here, for Pat and Steve. And I pray you, Father, you would enable them to be here. I pray you too for signposts up by the road. I pray you, Lord, for the few bits and pieces that still need to be done, for the pest-proofing of the church, Lord, is that the way to put it? You know all the things that we need, and I pray that you would supply them. Love you and praise you, and just thank you, Lord, for looking out for us, and most of all, for your Son, Christ Jesus, and for saving us. And we leave these things at your feet, along with private prayer requests, too. And we ask them all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen, Father. Thank you. We'll start with number 31 in the Black Book. Number 31 in the Black Book. We'll remain seated as we sing, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is."
Thank you. morning reading is from the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That it may be well with thee, and thou hast made little long in the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and of the admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good, well-doing service, as to the Lord, and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that he may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, and I may open my mouth boldly to make it known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tysias, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know your affairs, and that ye might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love and faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
Thank you, Tom.
Do you have a prayer list to look at there, Mrs. Bradford? I think it's gone there, we're all struggling with our diet, I think. Does anybody have any prayer requests that they'd like to make known to the church? Yes.
For salvation, Kathy and Nicole.
Kathy and Nicole?
Yeah.
These work colleagues?
Kathy is my second cousin, I met her in Mexico, so they were buying shoes. She's the officiator of my great uncle's funeral. And Nicole's the woman I talked to on the bus, going up and down the bus.
Yeah, Kathy and Nicole, please do pray for them. Anybody got anything else they'd like to add?
Yes.
taking everybody's solid private prayer requests. Anybody get any thanks? Yeah. I don't know if that's thanks. And the funeral service was earlier this morning whilst I folded the piece of blue paper in two and chucked it in the bin. Not at all.
I sadly have lots of experience with that.
Also like to be give the Lord a thank you for our outreach yesterday up and down in Drumahoe. We had I had a very smooth running day. Well, we got a short shrift from some lady that wasn't too keen on getting the gospel tracked in through the door, but I think we were out for an hour and a half, maybe more, and got a good chunk of Drumahoe tracked, so we're glad for that. Those other ones can come off. Amen.
Church car.
Church car, yes indeed. I'm sending Norman outside there. The mechanic eventually deemed to have a look at the church car. It's supposed to be an ECU unit or a wiring problem, so please do pray about that. It's supposed to be looked at and sorted out tomorrow or Tuesday. Please do pray for the repairs. I think that's that. There's no other business, is there? Well, one other thing, I would ask for your prayers. It's been on my mind for a while to put some signage up for the church, because it's really very much a case of, if you don't know the church is here, you don't know where the church is. And for years, yes.
You look for free conscience, you can put up a traffic sign.
Or one on wheels on the back of the trailer. But yes, so please do pray about signage for the church. That's even the right term. All right, I think that's about that. All right, I think we got that one. Thank you very much. You may lead us in a wee word of prayer, Will, and then we'll sing another song or two. Thank you, sir.
If I pray for this day, Lord, may I praise and worship the case of the simple insight from you to honor to the great and holy name, Lord. And Lord, give us prayers and service, Lord, to walk in touch with the Spirit, Lord, and help us get a blessing from you and from all your promises that you bountifully and lovely give us, Lord. And thank you for sin. Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins and for the ones who will give us salvation through his blood. Lord, pray for us, brother, with Frank and Lord, and keep safe and well, Lord. Look for many trouble, keep them safe, and draw them close and walk free. With Dr. Shang as well, Lord, as well. With Colin, wherever he is, that will keep him from any trouble, Lord. Provide you keep in hand upon him. And Lord, also with him and Michael Sass as well, wherever they are. With Charlotte as well, with her bringing to church next point, and give us safe and well, Lord, and draw closer with thee as well. With Pat and Steve, Lord, help Pat, Steve, in his sickness, Lord, heal him mightily and powerfully. Give him strength, Lord, and Lord, help him each and every day, Lord, and help him as well, Lord. With Pat as well, Lord. And Lord, give us some respite, give us strength, and bless her, and keep her, and give her more strength to be help Steve in these pains and troubles as well, Lord. But Marcus comes to love with God, Lord, and we get a blessing on it, Lord, and know more about that written wonderful personality, Lord, and thy will, and thy commandments, Lord, and everything that you have left for us, Lord, bless it to our lives, Lord, and we also give us with unsafe friends and relatives, Lord, save them mightily and powerfully, Lord. And Lord, give us this day for thy honor, for thy glory, for thy presence.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's take our quick hymn book again. Let's advance through our song picks. We have 103 in the book, so if you'd like to stand, we will sing Under His Wings together. And number 103. these pages are killing me today. Because we have a request for 426.
Yes.
If we go to 426, we'll get our wee bit of pre-Christmas practice and heard the bells on Christmas. It's a month today, isn't it? 4 weeks today. Time flies. Hmm? What date's today? 27?
Mm.
Goodness, time flies. I tell you, doesn't it? Hymn number 426. Heard the bells. Christmas Day. Speed, because it sounded almost very like that, but the need to see. Ezekiel chapter 12. And Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. And there is my prayer list. Hiding out in the book of Ezekiel. Well, it's good to see each one of you here this morning. I just wanted to issue an invitation to, well, everybody that's here, that if you have no other arrangements for Christmas, we would be very, very glad to have your company on Christmas Day after the church service. We're going to have a church service. We might take it back to about 10:30, and that will give us a chance to have our wee bit of time together and then get home and get the spuds peeled and the carrots and whatnot going. So you're invited. If you have nowhere else to go and you would like to spend or at least eat turkey with us, you are very welcome to join us. So put that in your diary, or not, as the case may be. Just also want to remind you on the 14th, is it? We're having a wee supper after the service on Wednesday evening on the 14th. So please do make sure you have a wee bit of space left and an elastic pair of trousers or belt, and come along and join us for a wee bit of food and fellowship after the service on Wednesday the 4th. Amen. I think that's about that. Ezekiel chapter 12. 28 verses here. I'm not sure if we'll read them all, but we'll read some of them. Let's go. The word of the Lord also came unto me, saying, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Therefore, thou son of man, prepare thee stuff for removing, and remove it by day in their sight, and thou shalt remove from thy place to another place in their sight. It may be they will consider, even though they be a rebellious house. Then shalt thou bring forth thy stuff by day in their sight, as stuff for removing. And thou shalt go forth at even in their sight, as they that go forth into captivity. Dig thou through the wall in their sight, and carry out thereby. In their sight, excuse me, dig thou through the wall in their sight, and carry out thereby. In their sight, verse number 6, shalt thou bear it upon thy shoulders, and carry it forth in the twilight. Thou shalt cover thy face, but thou see not the ground, for I have set thee for a sign unto the house of Israel. And I did so as I was commanded. I brought forth my stuff by day, stuff for captivity, and in the evening I digged the wall with mine hand. I brought it forth in the twilight, and I bare it upon my shoulder in their sight. And in the morning came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, hath not the house of Israel, the rebellious house, said unto thee, What doest thou? Say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, This burden concerneth the prince in Jerusalem, and all the house of Israel that are among them. Say, I am your sign. Like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity. And the prince that is among them shall bear upon his shoulder in the twilight, and shall go forth. They shall dig through the wall to carry out thereby. He shall cover his face, that he see not the ground with his eyes. My net also will I spread upon him. He shall be taken in my snare, and I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there. And I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him, and all his bands, and I will draw out the sword after him. They shall know that I am the Lord, when I scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries. We're going to stop there. We're going to refer to a few verses at the end of the chapter, but that pretty much covers us as regards our title, The Need to See. Let's have a quick prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you for preserving your word for us, and thank you for giving us the freedom to carry a copy to church and to open it and read it for ourselves, for the reading that's already gone on this morning, and for the heads that are bowed in your presence. Please bless this time around your word, and I pray for understanding for each one of us, Lord. I pray you too for those that are standing to explain and to expound the full counsel of your word, Lord, for inspiration and blessing upon them. Lord, we love you and praise you. Thank you for loving us and watching over us. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We are still in Ezekiel, and so to a certain extent, some of the things that we speak with are, well, if you're speaking out of the Bible, it's very, very serious regardless. It's good to be able to enjoy some of it, but we are still reading. And we're only at just over a third of the way through, I think. Yeah. We're 12 chapters into the book of Ezekiel, and a lot of it has been warnings from God about the behavior of the people of Jerusalem. This is a forerunner to the account that you read in Daniel, where the children of Israel have been taken in captivity and snatched away to Babylon. And God has said to those that listen, look, this is coming. Take it in the chin and make yourself at home in Babylon, because that's the way it is. And this particular time, instead of just words, God has said to Ezekiel, I want you to behave in such a way as if you were about to be taken in captivity. If you were about to be made a prisoner in the way that I have said that the people should allow themselves to be, in other words, you're going to fall for your disobedience, this is how you make the most of it. I want you to behave like that. And so God instructed Ezekiel to empty his house as if he was moving. Bring it all out in the middle of the day so that the people that can walk by. Now bear in mind, people knew that Ezekiel was a prophet of the Lord. They heard the words, and it's an unusual thing, but in many of the scriptures that I have read over the past little while, there's a thread that runs through them, and it's the thoughts of people's hearts, people that are fixed in sin. They think, the Bible says, they think that God doesn't see, or God doesn't mind, or God will not recompense. And all of those things are fallacies. What they are not saying is God's love extended to them, and that is patience. It's his patience that they're seeing, not his permission to behave badly. They are seeing God's love and his patience and not striking them dead for all the things that they have done as he waits for them to change his mind. It's not God saying, it's okay, just do whatever you like. Because there is a payback. So Ezekiel, he was moving house. All the stuff out of the house, the Bible even says, a verse or two later on, verse number 18, Son of man, eat thy bread with quaking, and drink the water with trembling and with carefulness, and say to the people of the land, thus saith the Lord God, they shall eat their bread with carefulness and drink the water with astonishment, that her land may be desolate. In other words, give them a taste of what's coming. This is the way you are to be my, how would you put it? My prophet. You are to be the one that shows the people of the land exactly what's coming. And I know Noah did the same. And even poor old Lot, righteous Lot, he was called, even though he was very slack in his life, I am sure he spoke from time to time about sin and judgment to come. Nobody ever believed him. Why would a Christian man come and live amongst us and be our friend and our buddy and marry our children and let our children marry his children and then warn us about sin and judgment to come? He obviously doesn't know what he's talking about. Or as they used to say, the white man speaks with forked tongue. He says one thing and does another. But all through the Bible, there have been examples of people being warned of coming judgment and most of the people laughing. And then judgment falling, then all of a sudden, everybody gets religion. Oh Lord, help me now. And the Lord will say, but what about all the times when you had ease, when you had plenty, when you could be laying up a store of fat as the bears and the animals do in the face of the oncoming winter? What about all of those times when you just frittered it away? Your health is gone, your children are gone, your families are gone. Well, it's too late. You might be saved yourself by the skin of your teeth, but it's too late. How many times? I know it's difficult. I don't know if you've ever heard the saying about putting an old head on young shoulders. Sometimes people don't learn any lessons until they learn them personally. A lot of people think things are never going to land in their lap. The pigeons always come home to roost. Always. In the world, they call it karma or payback. It's not karma. The Bible says if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. And if you treat people badly your whole life, you're going to die a lonely and an awful end. If you're violent your whole life, the odds are you're going to die a violent death. But if you live a Christian life, you will get the power and the wherewithal to meet eternity the way God has planned for you to meet eternity. And not regret one moment of your life. We need to remember as well And I know I have mentioned this a few times, that just because you're a Christian does not mean life is going to be plain sailing. Things can happen to you too. Daniel and Azariah, Ananiah and Mishael were the most upstanding godly people in the country. They're the only names that are mentioned in the book of Daniel when the people were lifted and brought into Babylon. And they were made eunuchs. We don't expect things like that to happen, but still they served God. And we should learn from that lesson. Our actions affect other people. Now, I'm not saying we need to live like judgment is falling upon us. I'm using the fact that, goodness, I don't know that anybody count the number of times that it says in their sight, which is about four or five or six times it's mentioned in that handful of verses. And there is a very good reason for that. It's because a picture is worth a thousand words. And people are more likely to believe a thing if they see it than if they're told about it. I have a great little verse reading from Romans, Romans chapter 10. Excellent verses. And this is the way the Lord spoke to Paul to tell the people in the church, the Christian church in Rome, not the Catholic church, that this is the way the spreading of the gospel works. He said in Romans chapter 10, regarding getting saved, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except to be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah hath said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. In other words, I think you can pretty much guarantee that every country has been exposed to the gospel over the past 2,000 years. That in itself is a fulfillment of Scripture, scriptural prophecy. And those words were saying, this is how the gospel is preached. There's a way of working it. People hear the word of God preached. And it's all very well hearing the God preached, but many times it doesn't hit home until we see the effect that the believing in the gospel has in somebody's life. One of the things that made a difference to me in the church, whenever the church that I got saved in, was seeing the difference in people. People actually smiling in church. People being glad to be in church. People singing in church, even if they couldn't sing. People made a joyful noise, and people hanging about and speaking and shaking hands. And my experience in church had always been I wanted to get out of there as quickly as I could. And I remember being parked in the Mandeville Street in Portadown opposite Armagh Road Presbyterian. My dad loved to talk to people in the church, and after about 10 or 15 minutes, we would start beeping the horn. Beep, beep. Or flashing the lights. Because we were going stir crazy. Now, we were only little at the time. But, hated church. There was a reason for it now, but I hated church. I couldn't understand why people would want to be in that place. People need to see the difference that believing in God makes. Because let's be honest. If you look back over the past, goodness, the past 100 years, but maybe the past 20 or 30 or 40 years, has anyone ever heard of the film The Magdalene Sisters? The one where it showed you the girls' home that was run by the Catholic Church. I think the last one was only shut down about 30 years ago. That's in the 90s. My relations in Points Pass or somewhere up around there, they had a couple of wee girls escape from one of their homes. and run to the house looking for help. And the lady of the house rang the home, not knowing, thinking that she was doing them a favour, rang the nuns and told them to come and get them. And she didn't know they were going to be beaten or starved or abused by the priest. She didn't know that. And so now in these days, with all of the scandals, even in the Baptist church, the ministers coming out as homosexual and everybody patting them on the back, and this demand of those in the upper echelons of laity that the people serve them like servants to a king, you know what? I could understand people saying, I'm not going to believe a single word that you say. I have had personal experience of a man that claimed to be an independent Baptist that infiltrated the church just to ruin it. I have personal experience of a man that started a missions church here and even went so far as to appoint drunkards as the deacons in order for him to gain control of the church finances. Emptied the finances, shut the church, and he was gone. And that's in Northern Ireland, just 15 miles from here. And then he put a real sob story in on Facebook, which was picked up by a paper, and how he didn't get on with and had to bring the church under control and this, that, and the other. The guy was nothing but a thief and a liar. And that's supposed to be in a good church. You know, another man in the Baptist church came from Portadown, David Baird, from Rich Hill. Had a church full of lost people for the funeral of a lost woman. And he wouldn't even tell them they needed to get saved. That's a scriptural scandal. The other ones are financial scandals, and there's some immorality scandals as well. It's no wonder people have a hard time believing the gospel. Catholic Church and the Protestant Church and even the Christian churches have done tremendous damage to people. I don't know if you know the Derry Donegal Fellowship. I was speaking to a wee girl, and I can't remember her name, but I can see her face. I used to work with her in Desmond's. When I went up to work on fixing her computer at the far side of the factory, we would sit down for 15 or 20 minutes and we would have discussions about the Bible. And I invited her to come to church. She says, I'm not going. I'm sticking with the Catholic Church. And I said, why, Jackie? She says, because I have visited a couple of, in quotes, Christian churches. And every single one of them has had a scandal going. The preacher has been seeing other women, or there's money's gone. That's awful. And I'm sure that's nothing new. Because if we even read about Eli, when Samuel was young, his two sons were off the rails completely. Samuel's family went off the rails as well, because that was the example that he had. God pronounced judgment on his two sons, and he says they're going to die, and that's it. And when Eli heard the news, he fell over backwards and broke his neck. That's Old Testament stuff. There is the need to see what a real Christian will live like and will behave like whenever they get saved. Sorry, what a person will behave like and live like and how they deport themselves whenever they get saved for real. I've heard people, I think it's Will's granny, talks about people being well saved as opposed to just being saved and sitting like a knot in a log. Well saved people probably actually do something with their Christianity. And it's good to have the Bible, don't get me wrong, because I have a head like a sieve. But it was really good, as Norman was reading this morning, to see the scriptures on the gospel armour, because that's precious to me. It shows us how important to the Christian knowing the Bible is. But it won't do you any good. The Bible will not do you any good, as it says in Hebrews 4, this is what it says. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. In other words, the saved and the lost. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. In other words, You've heard of people being dead in trespassing sins. If you liken it to a fire, you know what a dead fire is like, don't you? It's stone cold. If you throw coal into it, it'll just sit there looking at you. But if you have a fire that's lit and you throw coal into it, it's going to burn longer and brighter. And that's the difference between a saved and a lost person. When you throw the Word of God into it, it burns brighter. That's us. And the Bible is good for us because we have trusted in Christ. And whenever we listen to it, whenever we memorize it, whenever we put it into practice, it's good for us because we're already plugged in. We're live wires. We're burning coals. We're alive. We're walking and talking with God. But souls need to see the difference that that makes in someone. They need to see faith in action. Like it says in the book of James, where it talks about faith without works being dead. They need to see the effect of a supernatural salvation working in a natural world. Now, I put a list of stuff down here. And there's 1,000 different ways. I don't have 1,000 different things written down. Just don't worry about that. But I have about 10. We'll get through them right quick. You would expect to see a person to act different to a lost person. And I believe that's correct. I think they, in no particular order, I think that if a person's really saved, they'll talk about Jesus and they'll refer to God and the Holy Spirit in prayer and even when they're fellowshipping amongst the brethren, but they're not going to take and use those names to damn people to hell. That should not be the way the Word of God is used. Your language should change. Your cursing and your blasphemy and profanity should be things of the past, and we all know how things of the past can rear their heads again. But if you keep, it's like having a poisoned well. The best thing to do is fill it in. And that's what the Word of God is. It's the rock. Fill it in. The words of eternal life should be on our lips. Not all the time. You don't have to be going around with a Bible the size of a grease block clutched to your chest, espousing the scriptures and preaching at every turn. But there are times when we should. If you ever sit down and people say, well, why is it you pray over your food? Well, funny you should mention that. Tell them about the Lord and how you're thankful for every day and even for every night. Your language should change. Your location should change. You should find yourself in church at least once a week. And it should be for real. It shouldn't be a chore. Although sometimes listening to my preaching, I can understand how it might be a chore. But pubs and nightclubs and drinking dens, whorehouses, sex clubs, all of these things that we have had in Derry and probably still do, they should be a thing of the past. The drink side, the cigarette counter, they should be things of the past. Nobody should see you there because it's sure as shooting. If someone sees you in the off-license part of Tesco's or an off-license, what are they going to say? Fuck everything that Mark says is a lie. I saw him in the office the other day. What's he talking about? Those places should be in the past because they didn't help anybody. The church should be your present and your future. It should be... That'll be your sat nav, and that'll take you to the right places. It should be more than just church too on a, what do they call it, hatching, matching, and dispatching for weddings and funerals and christenings and Christmas and Easter. You should turn up at church to thank the Lord and worship Him and show Him your faithfulness for all that He has done for you. And if you don't like coming to church, you're not going to like heaven. Not one little bit. If you don't like going to a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church, you're not going to like heaven. I get a kick out of coming across wee things and that sort of fill in a wee gap. It's like putting a piece in a jigsaw that you couldn't quite nail down. I get a kick out of that and seeing something explained more clearly or something just slots into place. if you don't look forward to lifting up a voice in praise, I don't care if you can hold the tune or not, but if you don't want to praise the Lord, if you don't want to talk to the Lord in prayer, whether it's here or at home, if you don't want to attend his house and encourage the brethren or put your arm under somebody else's shoulder and lift them up, you are going to hate heaven. Because heaven is full of people that talk about the Lord all the time. More than that, God will be there and he'll be preaching the perfect sermons. He'll be saying, right, I've got 1,800 pages of Bible here. Here's all the bits that we're missing. And I'm going to show you how they all tie together. And on that point, does anyone recall to mind reading about, where are we, about the prince in verse number 12? The Lord said, the prince will go to Babylon, but he'll not see it, he'll die there. 12 and 13. And people are probably saying, what does that mean? I think it was Zedekiah, the king of the day. He rebelled against God's commandment. God allowed the Babylonians to come in and break through the walls, and he ran. Instead of surrendering, he ran. He tried to fight, and then he ran. The king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, took him, killed all of his children in front of him, poked out his eyes, and brought him in chains to Babylon, and he died there. But he never saw it. People need to see the difference. People need to know that your assurance is in God, that you're trusting in God, that you say and do things because you're going to heaven, not because you're looking for money from somebody, not because you're looking for a leg up the social ladder from somebody, not because you're trying to stick a knife in somebody, either figuratively or for real. People need to see you being a Christian, because people are so terrified about the world, the flesh, and the devil. People need the encouragement of knowing that God is still working in this world. Your friends should be a bit different. We all know the verses that are in the Bible that are the acid test for a Christian. You know you've passed from death unto life. Why? Because you love the brethren. Because you've been sick Christians. You have that common thread, that common foundation that no man can lay, and that is Jesus Christ. The friends should not be alcoholics and adulterers and fornicators and violent people. Your brothers should not be those people. Your brothers, Christians, should be Christians. Your Father is God Almighty. Your big brother is Jesus Christ. The friend that sticketh closer than a brother is the Holy Spirit. And those that you know that are still living in the world should be your mission field. As and when, you should remind them of sin and judgment to come and tell them about the great things that Jesus has done. Home and family. It's really tricky working with family. Because they know you from you were a nipper. They always expect you to behave in the way that you've always behaved, like you were when you were a nipper. And they find it very difficult to acknowledge that you are now a different person, that you are a new creature in Christ. But you can show them, and they will watch you. And it might be a month, it might be a year, it might be a decade that they might finally say, well, do you know what? I believe the things that you say, because I have watched you and I have seen you're not like you used to be. You're a better person. You're a believer. You speak the things of the words of eternal life. You do the deeds of Jesus Christ. I believe. But I know sometimes with family, I think there's like a get out clause where you can actually clip them in the ear and stick their toe up their rear end or something, because they are family. And whenever they say, see what I mean? They said, I didn't say it was perfect, I just said it was a Christian. I'm still going to heaven. Sadly, if you don't get saved, you're still going to hell. Your reading material should broaden, at least to include the Bible. Not a big one for commentaries, I'm not a big one for reading the books that other Christian men have read. I would rather read what God said than what somebody else said that God said. Because even in the notes that are in the Word of God, has anyone here ever seen a study Bible that has notes written along the bottom? The number of times that I have read those notes and found errors in them. One of the best ones that I have read is a way back in the book of Genesis, where it talks about, I think it's Genesis 5, where it talks about the sons of men going into the sons of God going into the daughters of men, and there were giants in the land. And one of the little notes says that that was the angels that came down to the earth, and they had relations with the women, and the women produced these mutants, these angelic half-breeds. But the Bible, Jesus plainly said that angels don't have no notion of doing that. They neither give in marriage nor take in marriage. That's the nature of angels. They don't do that. And yet some people have that written down, and they follow that because it means that possibly they could be descended from one of these angelic half-breeds, and they have psychic powers, and they have a higher position in the social order of things. And that is just wrong. We need to be familiar with the Bible. And it's not easy, I'm going to tell you. Because the old man doesn't like it. I have just recently, and I'm not boasting, I'm just telling you, I've recently just finished memorizing John chapter 1, and I've been at that on and off for James chapter 1. On and off for over a year. There were months that I had forgotten about it and had to go back many, many verses. And even now, there's a couple of verses that always seem to escape me. But those verses are helpful to me. They're useful to me. I can be thinking of those instead of some other stupid stuff when I'm in my bed or when I'm walking or cutting the grass or doing something like that, and it's a help to me. Say reading broadens the mind, and read the Bible and fill your mind with good things. Can you imagine what's running through other people's minds? I read a survey the other day, and it said something to the effect that the average person thinks about immorality, was it 5 or 10 times every hour? The average person. And it's no wonder, because it's on the radio, and it's on the TV, and it's on the internet, and it's in the cinemas, and it's everywhere you go. You look at a magazine rack, and there's naked people on it. There's a magazine for lesbians, there's a magazine for homosexuals, I'm surprised there isn't a Transgender Times. It's no wonder people are thinking about bad things, because it's always in front of them. But if you take time to put something into your heart from the Word of God, it will always be there. And when the filth and the muck of the world tries to creep in through your ears and your eyes, the bleaching of the Word of God will clear it away. Entertainment, another avenue with which to fill our minds and our lives with foolish things, filth and violence. Stuff that will tear you down and destroy you. Your entertainment should be more uplifting. Should be lifting you upwards instead of tearing you down. The way we treat our parents, our siblings, our spouses, or our children. Norman was reading again this morning where it talked about honoring your father and mother. The Bible says that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And likewise, if you're a parent, you should be teaching your children that this is what they're supposed to do. There is a biblical way to treat people. And we should do that respectfully. Bearing in mind that all of these people have immortal souls that are going to spend eternity somewhere, maybe depending on what you say or where they see you or what you do. I never mentioned our dress. The way, not my dress, But the way I dress, because I don't have a dress, almost, we shouldn't be dressing to draw attention to our physical bodies. I hope and pray you're all fit and well, but I don't want to see any bulges, I don't want to see any muscles, I don't want to see any cracks or crevices, or I don't want to see any of that, because that draws my mind down to the gutter. I want to see you, and when I see your face on top of your well-dressed body, I'd be thinking of you. You, your soul. I'd be thinking of you, your testimony. I'd be thinking of you, the crack that we've had. I'd be thinking of you, the help that I've given you, or the help that you've given me. I'd be thinking of you and what I have learned from you. I'd be thinking of you and how I can help you. That's why we should dress respectfully and modestly. What about whenever we make mistakes? First time we replaced the wall out there, before we got the tin on it, I was working with a friend, Clive, and Stan. And there was a bit of wood to pull out, and there were fingers hit a few times. And I think Stan hit his finger first, and he just went, oh, like that there. Clive hit his finger next, and there were a few sparks, a few blue sparks, there were a few choice words. And I hit my finger next, and I said, my goodness, that hurts. And Clive said, it's easy to see which ones of us are Christians. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to have accidents. There's going to be times whenever the pain or the surprise or the loss is going to be sudden, maybe even total. And it's going to hit us in the face. We have a different way of reacting. We can react whichever way we like, but we have one more option than the lost person doesn't. And that is, Lord, hurts me completely. This is. And we can go, like that there. And that's natural. But we don't have to let ourselves down. One of the verses I learned at the very tail end of James 1 says, if any man bridleth not his tongue, he deceiveth himself, and his religion is vain. So loving God gives you the ability to control what's going on there. And I know things can be hard, but Christians, when they have the Lord, tend to be more content with less. The Bible says be content with food and clothing. As long as you're warm and dry and fed, like technically you don't really need anything else. It's nice to have a roof over your head, and it's nice to be able to play music or fire something up on the internet or head out to the shed where you've got your tools and materials to put something together. It's nice to be able to do that. But when hardship comes, you make sure your eyes are fixed firmly on the Lord, and you will be surprised how often your life will mirror that of Peter walking on the water. It will seem to be impossible for everybody else looking at you that you can still smile and thank the Lord when you're down in quotes on your luck. And lastly, again in no particular order, we should be wanting to help people. Not help people kill themselves. Oh, here's a pound for a pint. Off you go. But helping people towards heaven. Here's my go-to phrase, and I had to sit down and think about it. And I had a little bit of help from my brother. I'm not going to give you a pound for a cup of tea. I'm going to take you and buy you a cup of tea and a sandwich. That money I'm responsible for. And if I give it to you and you spend it in drink, I have helped you kill yourself. It's not going to happen. Or I need a pound for a bus ticket. I'm not going to do that. Come on, and I'll buy you a non-refundable bus ticket at the bus station. I'm not giving you money to go and buy drink or drugs. But I will buy you food, or I will buy you a ticket home. Bear in mind that the money that you give, you're responsible for, to make sure that it's used for proper things, and not stupid things. And all of these things, as you do them, people will see you. And people will hear something different to what the world, to what everybody else is doing, even other churches, even other so-called Christians. And whenever they say to you, why is it that you do that? I'm reminded of the words of God to Moses when he instructed the people as they crossed the Jordan, lift a big boulder out in the middle of the Jordan and set them all up on top of each other on the other side of it. And they were going, but why, Lord? So when people say, when your children say, what is that? You can say, you can tell them about the great things that God has done. There you go. That is you lifting a boulder out of the Jordan and setting it up so that people can see and say, what's that all about? Why did you do that? Why were you in this place? Why were you not in this place? And you can say, because God has saved my soul. He has done great things in my life. And I don't want to drag his name down into the mud or let him down. Because I love him. And he has helped me so very much. He saved me from hell. And he set me on the road to hell. I love him. And I want, and I know what God has given me, he will give to anybody that comes to him. People need to see. Talk is cheap. And we should all know that from listening to the news over the past few years about politicians and world leaders. But I hear some funny crack about the 800 private jets that flew to the G20 conference to talk about Greek issues. People are stupid. But they can't actually say it and say, hold on a wee second. We could have had a whole city for the fuel that was used in those planes. Anyway, people need to see. And they need to know to not be afraid of the life that you are promoting, of the life that Jesus said you could have in this world, that it is a viable, a desirable, and a much more pleasant alternative to the life that the world, the flesh, and the devil has planned for people. They'll steal your money, they'll steal your life, they'll steal your health, they'll steal your friends, they'll steal your family, they'll steal your mind even. And whenever they're done, they'll spit you out like a piece of chewing gum with all the flavour gone. That's what the world will do to you. Everything that's out there in the world is taken from you. They might be offering you something, but as you're busy in quotes enjoying that, they're stealing from you. God, my goodness, God is on give all the time. He's on give all the time. And he wants for us to show that to people. Now, you don't have to be doing all those things all at once. There's a wee verse in Proverbs, a chapter in Proverbs, the very tail end. Is it the last verse where it talks about a virtuous woman? A couple of times I have read that, and it says things like, a virtuous woman rises a great while before dawn and prepares meat for her household and clothing, and then she goes to the market and she's buying food, she's tending to the fields, and she's doing this and that. There's no woman that's doing all of that, but those are the things that a virtuous woman will do. These, you might not be doing these all of the time, you might not have ever contemplated doing them, but eventually, some of those things should be viewed in your life by lost souls. Because God loves the people around you just as much as he loves you. And if they're not going to church, and they're not reading the Bible, the only church, the only Bible, the only exposure to Jesus Christ is the stuff that you bring to the table. People need to see. Christians need to see for encouragement. And the lost need to see for salvation. Amen. I'm stopping there. Thank you for your good time and attention this morning. God bless you. In the big books, I think there might be one song left to sing that I have a wee tab on the 429, old favourite, Hark the Herald Angels. Another Christmas Eve because we're that much closer to Christmas. Let's stand as we sing, Hark the Herald Angels. And see us safely home and back at the next appointed time. Lord, we love you and praise you. Thank you for loving us, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you continue to do for us. Please work in the hearts and minds of those around and about us, convicting and saving and warning of sin and judgment to come. We love you and praise you, Lord. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. Folks, bless you. Shake hands, and we'll shift for a little while.